In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. The yearbook at Concordia Lutheran High School this year contains a quote from a certain sophomore, and it reads as follows: "If God reduced us and everything else to 1/1000th of our present size, would we notice the difference?" That's an interesting question. And while I won't name the student, I will indicate that his father teaches at Concordia Theological Seminary. What this quote raises is the interesting question of perspective. Would we notice the difference if God reduced, or for that matter, expanded everything 1,000-fold? What a delightful question to put before the systematics department. But what immediately comes to the mind of an exegete is how texts form and shape perspective. Carl Sagan, the widely read astronomer from Stanford, spends his time reading the stars. And in several recent and very popular essays, he tells his readers what the stars have told him. And that is simply this: that there is no cosmic parent. He writes that we wish it were otherwise. We wish that we could find a parent, but that when we read the stars, what we're told is that there is no such coherence, that our star is one of millions and millions of others, and that like them, it will go out one day, and we with it will join the darkness. What a different perspective. What a different reading St. Luke permits us on this day of the Visitation. There is not only a cosmic parent, there is a heavenly Father. And the disposition of that heavenly Father is not dark, but rather it is light. In fact, that light burns so brightly that it will come forth in His own Son. And this Father's perspective is distinctive. He doesn't perform feats for the astronomer's observations. If they can't behold His majesty in the stars, it's very doubtful whether they would have a chance to properly interpret His appearance in other forms. No, this Heavenly Father comes to two insignificant women. And in their conversation about their pregnancies, the hand that formed the galaxies announces the coming of that Son. And then that Son arrives to be greeted with the leap of the one who would announce Him. When we see this child, we see the Father. And when we see the Father in that child, everything is put in perspective. The perspective of the flesh, the perspective of the cross. And Mary and Elizabeth knew the perspective of the flesh. They knew the promise of the woman's seed. They had beheld how mysterious God moved as His promise took flesh. They knew the story of how another pregnancy had been promised. And there had been a long wait, and then three men appeared before the tent of Abram. And that promise became so remote that the only way Sarah could greet their announcement that now the pregnancy was in motion was to laugh. Sarah laughed in understandable disbelief. But Elizabeth and Mary, they sing a song of fulfillment. And how they capture the wonder in that private conversation of God's perspective. Here the whole history of Israel comes down to two pregnancies. And finally, the one is in the service of the other. Elizabeth captures that when she says, "Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? Yea, blessed is she who believed that the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." Mary and Elizabeth see the cosmos clearly. They see it clearly in their flesh. Then, as now, their perspective was out of step with the age. Herod was the great expert at reading Wall Street, Roman politics, and guaranteeing his own security. He even had to take some of his family into the darkness of death to vouchsafe his position. But Herod couldn't see the cosmic parent, let alone the heavenly Father. And when he tried to grind out this perspective and to slay the child, it was he who went into darkness. For the Father would bestow his spirit, and Mary could sing that perfect hermeneutic that all the promises to the fathers are now fulfilled in what she beholds within her womb. Now, where can we better orient ourselves than in this meeting of Mary and Elizabeth? We who want to be servants and pastors of the church, their perspective brings us the gospel in sterling perspicuity and clarity. It is not at Stanford, nor is it at the White House, nor on Wall Street, that we will get it right. No, it's at the font. It's at the altar. It is in the Word that this one still comes in the flesh to bestow his precious presence. It is here and not elsewhere that we join Mary and Elizabeth and all the saints in seeing the Heavenly Father. Here we see his moves clearly, taking all our sins into his Son. For he who knew not sin became sin for us, taking all our deaths into his cross, and bestowing life and eternity in his glorious resurrection. To be a pastor at the font, at the table, in the gospel. What a gift to be given away to the whole world, to be given at the bedside and in the public arenas, in every place we can go, to be the bearer of the one and of the one perspective which can freely and fully deliver us from all that is false. What if God had reduced our sin to nothing, absolutely nothing? And what if he had increased our holiness to be that of his very own? Would we notice the difference? He has, and we do. And that's why we're here with Mary and Elizabeth to confess the Christ. Amen.